Please turn to Psalm 23 in your Bibles. Psalm 23. And there's a bulletin on the other side of your bulletin. You have an outline to help you follow along. As you're turning there, I just want to thank you and send greetings from Risen Savior Church in North Arlington, your church plant that you've been praying for 5 years now. And by the grace of God, it's still going strong. Psalm 23. This is the word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's ask God's blessing. Oh, Father, we come to this very familiar, ancient, and inspired text. And we ask, O God, that by the power of the Spirit, you would convict us, you would encourage us, and you would spur us on to stay close to our shepherd and find in him all that we need to live the lives you've called us to live. May the word of God have its effect, we pray, for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, obviously, this is a psalm that many of us are familiar with as it's read during funerals and times of mourning. But it doesn't take a funeral for us to be able to mine the depths of this inspired text. David wrote this when he was a king. And as a king, he knew what it was like to face troubles in this world. David knew what it was like to run from enemies, to have his kingdom threatened, to have division in his own family. And of course, we read about his own personal sins and struggles. For King David, there was danger on every side. And perhaps this morning, you need encouragement as you go through this life. Maybe you don't have a divided kingdom over which you rule, but you know what it's like to face danger and sorrow on every side. Maybe it's your personal sins. Maybe it's people persecuting you for your faith. Maybe it's the uncertainty of the future. This psalm is for all of us. And it is meant to be an encouragement. Now, in other psalms, David laments. He mourns. But this psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving and praise. At times, he waxes nostalgic. He thinks about his days as a shepherd. And he remembers the best of those days. You know, when you get nostalgic, you tend to think of only the good things. So he's thinking of his days as a shepherd where he felt peace and security and provision. And just as when he, David, was a shepherd and he provided for his sheep, he thinks about his own life and how God has preserved him through all of these trials and troubles. And he announces to us in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in that statement, "The Lord is my shepherd," David finds his encouragement. And I pray you would find yours today as well. But that begins with admitting this fact that sheep need a shepherd. If you feel you have no need, this is not for you today. But may the Lord in his mercy show you your need. Sheep need a shepherd. By virtue of their very nature and behavior, they need someone to guide them and feed them and protect them. And so David here, in his declaration, in verse 1, is saying that even he, as a king, even he as a shepherd himself, needs a shepherd. And why? Well, the same reason you do, and I do. David is human, and the human race is in need of a shepherd. Indeed, throughout the whole scripture, we are compared to sheep. This was not something I was very familiar with, growing up in the city, Bayonne and Jersey City, we didn't have sheep all around. So you have to do some research. Maybe some of you are more familiar living in the country or in a farm. But as you do research, you find out that sheep are vulnerable, they are weak, not very smart. They're subject to enemies like wolves. They need protection. In the ancient Near East, they were subject to the hot sun, the rough terrain. They need refreshment. They were subject to illness. They would often eat the wrong food. They need health and someone to guide them to find the good stuff. And so sheep are, by nature, dumb animals, prone to wander. And this is what we're compared to in Scripture. You say, well, didn't you say this sermon's supposed to be encouraging? You come home from church today and someone says, what'd you learn about in church? Well, the pastor said I was a vulnerable, dumb animal. It's not me. The Bible compares us to sheep. Even today, right? If you call someone a sheep, it's not a term of endearment. But I ask, brothers and sisters, with all of your accomplishments and achievements, are you aware of your own weakness? Are you aware of your own neediness? Are you and I aware of our prone to wander status? We are vulnerable. We do lack knowledge. We do have enemies, especially a cosmic enemy who has his flaming arrows pointed at us. We are vulnerable to the forces of nature. We are vulnerable to our own sins and temptations. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd. And maybe in this very moment of your life, you are feeling vulnerability more than ever. As you walk through some rough terrain, uncertain future, dark valleys. And maybe others of you in this very room might feel that days of vulnerability are past and you're courageous and on fire. But the truth is, no matter where you are, whether you're a shepherd or a king, you need a shepherd yourself. The book of Isaiah says, all we like sheep, all, not some, but all we like sheep have gone astray. We have wandered from the Lord. And this psalm will help bring you back if you first recognize that you are a sheep and you need a shepherd. Now, before we mine the depths of this psalm, I want to have a New Testament focus, because we have the privilege of reading this ancient Old Testament text through the lens of the gospel. So I announce to you today that Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd, and at the same time, he is the Lamb of God. And when you recognize who Jesus is and then read this text with those New Testament eyes, it comes alive even more. So this is a psalm of praise. The good news is, just as David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd," we can say we have a good shepherd. Notice in verse 1, the Lord is in capital letters, which signifies Yahweh, Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. David is saying, I'm not my own shepherd. I'm not in control of my life. That, the one true and living God, he is my shepherd. To say that you have a shepherd is to declare, I belong to someone. I am not my own. Charles Spurgeon says a sheep is an object of property, not a wild animal. So you belong to someone. And we know from the New Testament that he purchased us with his blood. He bought us. He brings us into his family. The covenant-keeping God of Israel, the eternal Father, the creator of heaven and earth, is David's shepherd. And you who are in Christ can declare with David, he is your shepherd too. And so we look at this passage with New Testament eyes. Let me just give you a smattering of verses that point us to Christ as the shepherd. The book of Matthew, quoting from the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 6, says, "You, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people." In Matthew 9:36, when Jesus is in his earthly ministry, he looks at the crowds, and the Bible tells us he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. And what does he compare them to? Like sheep with no shepherd. And then Peter declares in 1 Peter 2, you, that's believers, you were straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And how can we forget Jesus himself telling us in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. What makes him good? He lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And so what makes Jesus such a good shepherd? It's the fact of his sacrificial loyalty to his sheep. He lays down his life for you. He is the Lamb of God and the shepherd at the same time. As Abraham told Isaac that day, God will provide for himself a lamb. As Israel was told to look for a spotless lamb to atone for their sins, John the Baptist sees Jesus and declares with certainty, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." As the song that we sometimes sing goes, who would have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? And so while we were weak and vulnerable, while we were trapped in our sin, while we were held captive by Satan, while we were wandering in this world away from the source of goodness, the Son of God, our good shepherd, became our lamb, taking on himself our sins and our shame and our guilt so that we could be made free. It's no wonder that when we go to the end of the book in Revelation, John sees a picture of living creatures and elders and the voice of many angels and myriads and thousands saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And if you are a believer in Christ today, when you read Psalm 23 and David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," you can say, "Amen, Jesus is my shepherd." And what he believed to be true about God in his life is true about Jesus in our life, because Jesus is God. Now, in your outline, there are several things, and you could probably make a lot more. I have seven ways in which David's declaration is true for us. David is actually making an argument here in verse 1. He is saying, since the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You know, when I was a kid, that always was a weird phrase. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Like, why would I not want the shepherd, right? But want means lack. I shall have no want. I shall have no lack. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And why? Because he's a capable shepherd. He knows where to lead me. He knows how to feed me. He knows how to protect me. Other shepherds may fail. Other shepherds may sleep on the job. Other shepherds may run away when a wolf comes to attack. But this shepherd, let me tell you about this shepherd. He is so faithful. And under his provision, as long as I stay under his care, I will lack no good thing. And so I want you, brothers and sisters, to leave here today knowing that if Jesus is your good shepherd, you will lack no good thing. Praise God, he's not distant. He's not working remotely. He's here. He is shepherding. He's not passive. He is active. He is interceding for you and me. And you might say, yeah, but I lack the job that I want, or the answer to the prayer that I've prayed, or my finances are not in order, or my health, or... He's not necessarily talking here about material things, because he knows what's best for you, and he will not deny what is best for you. So what are those things that the Lord's shepherding gives us and we will not lack? First, necessary sustenance. Verse 2, necessary sustenance. Verse 2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Sustenance, our food. I love food. But there's food that you enjoy eating, and then there's necessary food. And I guess as a result of the fall, they don't always overlap. So the things that are good for you are not always the things that are most tasty, and so on, right? The Bible says that we should be content with just enough because not all is necessary. But Jesus tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so just as sheep need sustenance, and they need good sustenance, good food, and the shepherd leads them to the places where the good food can be found, so if we follow Jesus as our shepherd, he will lead us to those places where his words can be found. Because more important than the best culinary dish you can think of is your access to the words of God. This is what we need. Other shepherds, out of laziness, negligence, or downright fraudulence, might lead you to truth mixed with error, or just error. But the good shepherd leads you to truth. His word is truth. The good shepherd doesn't lead the sheep to a place of dirt, patchy. There's some green here and patches there. He gives you sustaining truth in a world filled with lies. Lies are so common in this world, aren't they? We just expect lies. We expect our leaders to lie to us. We're not surprised. We count the lies. We fact check them because we know that most of what they said is not true. Our shepherd doesn't give us worldly advice or half-truths. He gives us inspired, infallible truth that come from his word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is good and true and right. As Spurgeon said, there's no fear of biting the bare ground where the grass is long enough for the flock to lie down in it. And so, brothers and sisters, if you follow the shepherd, he will give you his words. He will lead you to places, whether that be churches that preach the word faithfully, the Bible, of course, other brothers and sisters who are faithful to God's word. We will not always communicate it perfectly. We will get things wrong, but under his care, he will use his word to correct us because his word is truth. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Waters. Water can kill, but water can also give life. In water, you can drown, but also in water, you can be refreshed. He leads us beside still calm waters, satisfying us on a hot day. We know what that's like in the past week or so. Refreshing, not violent or storm-tossed. What does the Bible say about those who love his law? They have great peace. Great peace have they who love thy law. Brother and sister sheep, follow your shepherd to the green pastures and the still waters and sit down and feast on his words. They are the words of life. They are your necessary sustenance. And if you do this, you will not lack correction, rebuke, instruction, encouragement, or counsel. You must, and I must, feast in the right pastures, and only Jesus will lead us there. Secondly, our shepherd gives us renewable strength. Renewable strength. Verse 3a, the Bible says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. From reading about sheep in the ancient Near East, we know that they very quickly get weary. And how could they not? They're carrying loads of wool on them, and they're walking around rough terrain under the hot sun, and they get hungry. There's no technology back in those days to just quickly grow the grass back. They have to go from place to place to find it. There's no air conditioning. Just hot sun. And the good shepherd doesn't come at his weary sheep and say, get yourself together, get up. No, verse 3 says, he restores my soul. Our shepherd refreshes us. And David knew this. How David in his whole life needed continual renewal for the task that God called him to do. I love how Spurgeon said, when the soul grows sorrowful, he revives it. When the soul is sinful, he sanctifies it. And when the soul is weak, he strengthens it. We don't serve a taskmaster. He is not oppressive, abusive, or negligent. He is caring and gentle and wise. He's invested in our spiritual strength. It is the will of God, our sanctification. Jesus, our shepherd, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He tells us that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, and that even when the flame of your heart is smoldering and dimming, the Bible says he will not quench a smoldering wick. He is invested in your strength, but he knows that you must draw your strength from him. And so follow your shepherd. Find restoration. Find refreshment. Find strength for the battle. He will never say to you, "My strength ran out." If you ask him for strength today, and he gives it to you, and tomorrow you feel weary again, and you ask him for strength, he's not going to say, "I'm ran out of strength on Sunday." He has eternal encouragement, eternal strength, eternal resources. You will never use up the strength of the Lord to restore your soul. Because your strength comes from your shepherd, and your shepherd is the eternal Son of God. And so, brothers, sisters, are you weary today? Are you restless? Are you heavy laden? Please stop looking to the world for refreshment and look to your shepherd, Christ. Thirdly, our good shepherd provides for us caring supervision. This is still back in verse 3, where it says, "He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." I focus on that phrase, "leads me." The shepherd feeds me. The shepherd refreshes me. The shepherd leads me. All the way my Savior leads me. We sang that this morning. So how do you know where to go as a sheep? What to decide? How to live right? How do you know what decisions to make? The first and foremost thing we must do is follow his lead. See, we read his word, verse number 2, the green pastures, the still waters. We must also obey his word. He supervises us. He cares. He guides. He leads. Where he leads me, I will follow. Trust and obey. This is all language of sheep following a shepherd. You may not know where he's taking you sometimes. And yet, you trust in him because he knows the way. He is the way. And he does this for his name's sake. For his name's sake, it says in verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. We are so prone to wander onto the broad paths of destruction and sin. And he leads us back to the narrow path of righteousness. Jesus leads us. He's Lord and King. And the Bible tells us his commands are not grievous. They're not meant to weigh us down. He's not a cruel taskmaster. A gentle Savior, strong and kind. And he supervises our lives. And thank God he does. Because sometimes, you know, we buck against the system. We don't want the structure. We don't want to obey. But Jesus is not a distant boss. He's not cruel. He's a caring supervisor, a caring shepherd. And if you follow his lead, you will glorify his name. Fourthly, our good shepherd gives us faithful security. Security, verse 4. Probably the most famous of the verses in this psalm says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Some of the ancient hymns we sing, or some of the older hymns we sing, say things like, "Sometimes the path seems rough and deep," or "Some through the waters, some through the flood, all through the fire, all through the blood." You see, here's the reality. Jesus does not promise you an easy life. Those sheep that David's referencing here in Psalm 23, they didn't have an easy life. They still got weary and tired and exhausted. They still had to traverse rough terrain. But they were secure so long as they followed the good shepherd. Jesus does not promise you a life free from troubles, free from inconveniences. As long as you live in this sin-cursed world, in this fallen body of sin, we're going to experience trouble. David knew this very well when he wrote this psalm. He knew what it was like to run away from Saul and deal with Absalom and be confronted by his own sin and standing against Israel's enemies. And so the disciples of Jesus know that this world will have persecutions and trials and tribulations. So what's encouraging about this verse? It's the fact that the psalmist is able to say, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Brothers and sisters, he is with us. The presence of God, the eternal God, is with you. If you recognize that, you can stand against any enemy. Like a small child who is scared of the water or the plane or the bus, but he clings so closely to mom or dad, and just their very presence gives him comfort. So we can have great peace if our minds are stayed upon Jehovah. So keep your eyes on the shepherd, and he will give you the courage to press on. See what he says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that could be translated the darkest valley, the valley of danger, the valley of uncertainty, shadow of death. How do I know that God is with me in this? Well, look no further than the cross. The cross is your evidence that God is with you in the shadow of death, because he really went there. This is not some like Hallmark Channel, you know, I know that grandma's always with me. This is God in flesh, who became incarnate and lived in this dark valley of a world and went to the cross and absorbed the wrath of God. And all of our sins were laid upon him. He knows what it's like to be there in the shadow of the valley of death. And so when you and I walk through those dark valleys, we can be assured that he is with us, because he tasted death for us. He went to the dark places for us. He is with you. Goes on to say in verse 4 that you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A lot's been written on what this means. You know, you probably have heard some things. The one is to ward off the enemies, and the other is to bring back the wandering. I think there's truth in that. You think about what a shepherd must do. Sometimes he must take action to bring back a wandering sheep. Then I was reading recently that the rod, some have suggested, was also to count or number the sheep. Now that's pretty interesting. That means that he knows his sheep. He knows the number of sheep that he has. But this isn't like when I was in middle school and we took field trips, and we used to joke with the teachers that if you left with 15 students, as long as you come back with 15, doesn't matter which students you come back with. This is a shepherd that knows the name and the number of hairs on the head of each of his sheep. This is a shepherd who will leave the 99 to go find the one. His rod and his staff, they ward off the enemies. They bring back the wanderer. They count the sheep, because he loves the sheep. And if the eternal Son of God is your shepherd who loves you and he's with you, you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and say, I will fear no evil. If the Lord Jesus is our shepherd, he will also provide for us, verse 5, abundant satisfaction. Abundant satisfaction. So not only is he feeding us with his word, guiding us in the right paths, restoring our souls, and protecting us, he's also giving us satisfaction. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This language of oil and anointing often points us to joy in Scripture. Abundant joy. You shall be so satisfied in your shepherd that your life will be marked by otherworldly joy. Do you have that otherworldly joy? Do you have a joy that your friends, family, coworkers can say, how is it that you've gone through this and you've gone through that, and yet there's this satisfaction, contentment, joy? Where did that come from? It comes from following my shepherd. He's the source of my joy. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, some suggest the table can refer to just the top of the hill, the tableland. Others will say it's the food. But regardless, the point is that the shepherd is inviting his sheep to come to this luscious place and to lie down in the presence of their enemies. Imagine being a sheep and you're surrounded on all sides by the wolves. And the shepherd says, here, come sit. Come lie down. Have a snack. I'm here. Are you able to sit and enjoy the presence of your shepherd knowing that there's enemies everywhere? Well, here's the reality. This is what we're doing every day. This is what we do when we come and worship. We're singing songs of Zion. Meanwhile, there are cosmic enemies who want to destroy your faith. You come to the Lord's table and eat and drink, and by faith are nourished with the body and blood of Christ in the presence of your enemies. Just because this may be a room full of brothers and sisters who love each other doesn't mean there are not enemies without and perhaps even within. So why are we able to feast? Why are we able to sing? Why are we able to have joy? Because of the presence of our shepherd. That's the visual that you should get when you read verse 5, that you're surrounded by enemies showing their teeth, firing their darts on all sides, but the shepherd is standing in the middle of his flock and he says, come and eat. Our shepherd is so good and so strong and so wise that we can sit down and eat in the presence of our enemies. And so this is one reason why I was so motivated by your singing this morning. Because when we worship in song, it's like we're rubbing it in Satan's face. Sing loud. One commentator says that it might have been the practice in ancient times for the winner of a battle to feast in front of the starving prisoners of war. Well, the Bible tells us that when Jesus died and rose again, he made his enemies an open shame. They're defeated. They're under his feet. And we get to feast. So as the song says, let the amen sound from his people again. Jesus tells us, I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly. He gives you and me abundant satisfaction. Number 6, or letter F in your outline, he gives us daily support. Daily support. Verse 6a tells us, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy, all the days of my life. What I'm talking to you about today, about following your shepherd, is not just for certain times in your life. It is not just for every Sunday. It is for every day. All the days of my life. What will follow me all the days of my life if I am following this shepherd? Goodness and mercy. What is goodness and mercy? Grace and favor. God's favor upon us. God's goodness. As we follow the shepherd, goodness and mercy follow us. Not some days, but all the days of our lives. That's why the Apostle Paul tells in one of his epistles, my God shall supply your every need according to the riches in Christ Jesus. Now, I could tell you that I'll supply your needs, whatever you need. You need some food, you need, you know, something that I can provide, but I'm going to run out, right? But Paul says, my God shall supply your every need according to what? The riches in Christ Jesus. Well, how many riches does he have? It's eternal. So his goodness will not run out. His mercy will not run out. His grace will not run out. His favor will not run out. His daily strength to equip you to do what God has called you to do will not run out. And you can come to him every day. God will equip you, brothers and sisters, for the task at hand. What is that task that's in front of you right now that's difficult? Is it parenting? Is it evangelizing? Is it discipling? Is it growing in your own spiritual discipline of prayer and Bible reading and worship? Is it dealing with difficult people on the job or in your family? Do you need help at school? Help at work? Health? We can go on. Those are just a smattering of many things that we face. Do you need goodness and mercy? Well, if you follow the shepherd, then goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Take your eyes off the shepherd. Try to do this in your own strength, and you are setting yourself up for failure. One of the pastors that I knew in my young adult life named his two cats Goodness and Mercy so that they followed him all the days of his life. I'd like for you to think in those terms that as I follow the Lord, goodness and mercy are following me. Finally, following our good shepherd, we will lack no good thing. He promises to us eternal sanctuary. Eternal sanctuary, verse 6b. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now we know David loved the house of God. For him, the house of God was the temple. As he says in Psalm 27, I will go to the house and I will gaze upon his beauty forever. But it's not so much the temple, the tabernacle, or whatever the physical structure was. It was the presence of God. David loved the presence of God. He was a man after God's own heart. He was not perfect by any means, but he had a love for basking in the glory and the presence of God. And here, David is reminded, no matter what hardship he's facing at the moment, that one day he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. An eternal rest, an eternal sanctuary. See, the sheep have a relationship with their shepherd. Right? Jesus tells us that they will listen to his voice, not the voice of another. They feel safe in the presence of their shepherd. They may run away from a stranger. David has a relationship with God. And he thanks God here in this psalm because he knows that one day he will be able to dwell in God's presence forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, we have an eternal sanctuary to look forward to. A perfect place of peace and righteousness. There will be no more conflict and no more war. There will be no more disease, no more tragic deaths and unexpected deaths. There will be no more uncertainties and no more goodbyes. And you will always have this to look forward to. Jesus promised us that he is going to prepare a place for us. And I ask, do you believe that this afternoon? Because God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is our shepherd, we will have no lack. And specifically, we will not lack necessary sustenance, renewable strength, caring supervision, faithful security, abundant satisfaction, daily support, eternal sanctuary. We have the best shepherd. And so, I leave you with a very simple thought. If this is true, then stay close to your shepherd, and you will lack nothing. Pretty simple. Not always easy to do, though, is it? Now, I have made it a note in my preaching to always emphasize the corporate nature of the church and of our Christian life, because in our highly individualized society, we often forget that we are part of a collective of people. We are part of a body of people, right? And so you may have heard that emphasis over and again. But this is a message from a passage where I think it's really important to make this personal. Not to forget the corporate aspect, of course. But go back to verse 1. While it is true that the Lord is our shepherd, it says here the Lord is my shepherd. There's something personal about this that others cannot do for you. They may encourage you toward it, but at the end of the day, he is not just the shepherd of our souls, plural, amen, that he is, but he's your shepherd. He knows your name. He knows your needs. He knows what you need to follow him. So make it personal. Stay close to your shepherd, and you will lack nothing. As one commentator says, contentment shall be the hallmark of the man or woman who has put his or her affairs in the hands of God. And some of us, we've been brought to a point where we could do nothing else but just put our affairs in the hands of God. And God gives us supernatural peace that the world can never give. And so what does that mean to stay close to our shepherd? It means as you hear his voice, you trust him by faith, and you obey what he says. Your shepherd tells you to prioritize the kingdom, to pray, to love your enemies, to give generously, to be quick to forgive, to care for the weak, to tell others about Jesus, to worship in spirit and truth. I can go on and on of what Jesus tells us to do. But don't say you are walking with Jesus if you have no desire to obey Jesus. He is our loving and kind shepherd. He is also our King and our Lord. The call to call God shepherd is to acknowledge that he rules over our lives and to surrender to his will. And let me just add, if he's not your shepherd today, if you're here or listening to this and you've never come to faith in Christ and you are still wandering, the invitation, I hope, is clear. Come to the shepherd of your souls. Because one day, as Matthew tells us in chapter 25, verse 32, before him will be gathered all the nations and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Our good shepherd wards off the enemies and he knows the true and the false. And if you've never turned from your sin and believed upon Jesus Christ, recognizing that he died for your sins, that you cannot earn salvation, but only by the blood of Christ and the power of his resurrection can you be saved, then today is the day of salvation. May the Holy Spirit open your eyes. But for those of us who do believe in the shepherd, I do want you to be encouraged today, to reflect on the character of your shepherd, Jesus Christ, the one who provides your sustenance and strength, supervision and security, satisfaction and support. Truly, as we sing, all that I need is in you, Jesus. I can't stand here and promise that you will get the job that you hope for, that your loved one will recover, that you will find answers to the prayers for which you prayed. I cannot tell you that you will not have to traverse some rough terrain in this cursed world under a hot sun, and you will go through dark valleys. All I can tell you is this, that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is your good shepherd, and since he is your good shepherd, you shall not be in want because he is there with you, leading you, loving you, and he promises he will never leave you or forsake you. Amen.